According to the Forbes magazine in 2008, the three top richest people in the world would be Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, and Carlos Helu from Mexico. Bill Gates is worth $50 billion, Warren Buffett, $42 billion, and Carlos Helu, about $30 billion. If you were to stack $1,000 bills, stacking them up, about a 4-inch pile would represent $1 billion. 1 million, rather, would be 4 inches. If you were to continue to stack $1,000 bills up to get 1 billion, it would be 333 feet tall. Then, if you were to consider Bill Gates' pile, his pile is about 3 miles high of $1,000 bills in U.S. currency. Just by comparison, if you were to stack $1 trillion in $1,000 bills, it would be 63 miles high. Just for interest's sake, the U.S. national debt is coming near $11 trillion, which would be about 693 miles high, well out of our atmosphere. Astronomers estimate that the Milky Way galaxy in which we are located, it's our home solar system, it has about 200 billion stars that are visible by telescopes. If each star cost $1, $1 trillion would buy 5 Milky Way galaxies. These figures are very difficult for us to properly comprehend. Friends, I do not need to elaborate today on the present financial situation. It is not good. And many of you have seen your retirement investments plummet to all-time lows. It is a time just like this that we must be reminded that our citizenship is in heaven, and that here we have no continuing city, but we look for one that is to come. The scripture tells us not to trust in uncertain riches. For if riches increase, set not your heart unto them. Psalm 62 and verse 10. Proverbs 23 and 5. Riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. My text today is found in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. These words, that in everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. That in everything ye are enriched by Him. It is good for us to be reminded of our real wealth and what it means to be rich toward God, to have treasure laid up in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal. Think with me, first of all, about the nature of this enrichment that is being spoken about in our text. The nature of this enrichment. It is something that is spiritual. It is not physical. It is true that in many ways, all who live in this land are very rich when it's compared to third world countries. Let's be honest and face it that we have a standard of living that is envied by many countries in this world. If we were to compare ourselves, for example, with our brethren who live in Jamaica, we live in opulence. We have great wealth. The blessings of the abundance of food, of fresh water, certainly in this land of Ontario, is coveted by many places in the world. We have shelter, we have transportation, we have every amenity that provides for a comfortable life, and it's something that we should never forget to thank God for every day. This word enriched in our text, it means to be made full, to have abundance, to have plentitude. And in this context, though it is not dealing with temporal things, it's not dealing with physical things, it is most certainly dealing with spiritual things primarily. Spiritual riches. The things that you and I possess in Christ, spiritual riches, these things are enduring riches. All that this could be impressed upon every mind here this morning, young and old, that the real wealth, the enduring riches that we possess are in the spiritual realm. They are not in the physical realm. Friend, if you're in Christ today, then you possess far more than all the trillions of dollars in the financial markets of this world, because in everything we are enriched by Him. Spiritual and not physical. In Revelation chapter 2 in verses 8 and 9, the Spirit of God was speaking to the church at Smyrna. And these are the words, "These things saith the first and the last," that is Christ speaking, "which was dead and is alive. I know thy works," he said. "I know thy tribulation and poverty." But he said, "Thou art rich." Now wait a minute. The Bible just said, "I know your tribulation and your poverty." And yet the Spirit of God says, "But thou art rich." How was Christ meaning this? We know He was meaning it in the spiritual realm. This church that had suffered so much, that had gone through great deprivation and poverty in the physical realm, yet they were rich toward God, because their riches were in the bank of heaven and their riches were in the spiritual. The Lord Jesus spoke of the parable of the rich man in Luke chapter 12. This man who he illustrated was a wealthy man whose goods abounded beyond his ability to house them. And so he decided he was going to build bigger barns, house all of his wealth, then take his ease. "Do eat, drink, and be merry, for you have much goods laid up for many years." The Lord came to him that night and said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall all these things be?" And it finalizes with this verse, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." He's poor toward God. Friend, if you are outside of Christ this day, it doesn't matter how much you have, whether there's a few thousand in the bank or not, or whether you have some property or investment or not, whether you are rich or wealthy in this world's good, or whether you're poor in this world's goods, if you have not Christ, you are poor toward God. And that will be the most devastating thing that you will hear. These words from the King of Kings, "Thou fool, this night shall be thy soul shall be required of thee." What if your soul was required of you this very day and you're out of Christ? Where will you be in eternity? We are all, as believers, in danger of being planted too deeply in this world. The indictment of the Laodicean church has been repeated frequently in the history, but perhaps never more than today. I want you to listen carefully to these words that John wrote in Revelation 3 and says, "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and therefore not that thou art wretched, know not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This estimation that God gives of the spiritual dimension of this people is something we need to take very close account of. I wonder how the Lord would look upon us and give us the estimation today. Would he have to look upon us and in our minds we sit smugly and think, we are rich in our spiritual endowments. We are rich in all that we have need of. We are rich because we know the Scripture. We're rich because we're orthodox in our theology. We're rich because we have insight and discernment given as a gift from the Lord. Be careful, my friends, that the estimation you have of your own spiritual temperature is way off. It was way off for the Laodiceans, and they thought they were rich. But they were not, friends. They were very poor spiritually. And Paul has to bring this same correction to the Corinthian church in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. If you turn over there for one moment, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 7 and 8. He said, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full. Now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. And he is saying to them by way of rebuke, you think that you are rich. You think that you are abounding in these spiritual gifts. But he said, in reality, there's something lacking in your own spiritual life. The richness that they had was not spiritual, but it was carnal. It was based on their senses and it was not founded upon truth. Friend, let us understand this morning that these riches that are being spoken about in 1 Corinthians 1, the enrichment of Christ, they are spiritual and they are not physical. But there's another dimension to them. The richness of Christ, it is eternal and not temporal. It's eternal and not temporal. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, the Lord says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will carry nothing out. For if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You know, by nature, all of us are poor. We're poverty stricken by nature. We're poor by nature. We're poor in time, but we're poorer in eternity. But united to Christ. In other words, when a person comes from darkness into the light and liberty of the sons of God, when we've been transformed by the power and the grace of God, and we're brought into that relationship, all of a sudden we are no longer poor in eternity. We shall be rich in Christ. And the enrichment of Christ, it transcends the temporary, extending to the eternal. This is why the Lord gave the exhortation in Matthew 6, verse 19, where he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves, he says, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The hymn writer said, riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I have received. Have you received them, friend? What does your spiritual bank book look like today? Are you abounding in the richness of Christ? Are you abounding in the wealth of the Lord? it has nothing to do with these temporal goods, because it is something spiritual and not physical. It is something eternal and not temporal. Let's look secondly at the extent of this enrichment. The extent of it. Come back to our verse 5 of chapter 1. For Paul says to them that in everything ye are enriched by him. In everything. In all utterance and in all knowledge. So he is speaking to them about their spiritual condition, about the standing that they have in Christ. They are enriched in the Lord. And he tells them they're enriched because of their relationship to Christ in all utterance and in all knowledge. And he goes on down in the next context of the chapter to explain something of their wealth in the Lord. The word utterance here is the word logos. In the beginning was the logos, the word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word logos is a very complex word in the New Testament. It's a very comprehensive word. It's a word that has many shades of meaning. And as it relates to the Word of God being Christ in John chapter 1, it is something that speaks about the personal wisdom and power of God. About Christ being in union of the same essence of the Father, who is the minister of creation and the government of all the universe. The one who was to procure man's salvation. The person of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the second person of the Godhead, who shone forth very conspicuously in his words and his deeds. By the very nature of these verses, the Logos is a full word. How can we plumb the depth of what it really means as it relates to Christ? But he is the Word of God. He is the full expression of all that God is. That is Christ. And it's the very same word that is used for these Corinthians. They are enriched in everything, in all utterance, in all discourse. The ability was given to them to communicate what? To communicate all that Christ is to a lost world. All that the Lord Jesus is of the wonderful works of God. That very expression is used in Acts chapter 2. It was at the day of Pentecost. It was at the time when the apostles were given the supernatural gift of languages. And why were they given that gift? They were given that gift so that they could communicate the wonderful works of God, of Christ Jesus and him crucified and risen again. And that's why they were granted this ability to communicate, this ability to utter, this ability to discourse and to speak well of their Savior. As believers, we are to be the communication channels to tell the lost world of a Savior of sinners. This enrichment of utterance, this expression of the word, is the result of the dramatic change that has taken place called regeneration. When a person is brought into the family of God, their minds are changed, our hearts are changed. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. The little word all is beside that. In all utterance. It indicates the totality of the expression. Our whole life. Our whole being. Is to flow with a very clear and concise message of the saving grace of God. Is your life speaking out this enrichment? Is it speaking out of the fullness of your Savior? After having been enriched by salvation, enriched by the grace of God, enriched by the bounty of Christ, are you reflecting that? Well, the apostle said, these people were enriched by this all utterance Then it says, in all knowledge. The word knowledge is a very common word in the New Testament. It's the word gnosis. The word Gnostic comes from that. And in Luke 1, verse 77, it is used in this way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. So it's a very simple expression of the word, the coming of Christ, salvation, the preaching of the gospel. It was to do what? It was to give knowledge of salvation. So when we talk about knowing the Lord, we talk about knowing Jesus Christ, it's a very good scriptural term because it speaks about salvation. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, Paul speaking, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So here the apostle, speaking about the excellency of the knowledge of Christ that he possesses, he's looking upon himself being blessed with this wealth, and yet he says, I've suffered the loss of everything. All things gone. I count them, though, as nothing. I count them as emptiness. I count them as vanity. I count them as dung. Nothing to be accounted for. Nothing to be considered or compared against this precious and blessed knowledge that we have, that is the knowledge of Christ. In Colossians 2 and verse 3, it says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, the same Greek word. Colossians 3 and 10, and have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. You see, when you are converted to Jesus Christ, you received a new nature. You received a divine nature. The old things passed away and all things become new. And when we are brought into Christ, we are enriched by that relationship. We are enriched in word to communicate him because we have been enriched in knowledge by the transforming power of God through the Holy Spirit. So the Lord deals with us by knowledge. He doesn't deal with us by just ramming something down us, my friends. No, the Lord deals with us by knowledge. The scriptures are written for our understanding. The Lord communicates us with us through the gate of our understanding and our knowledge. It is not a mindless faith that we have as believers. It is not something we're asked upon just to blindly go down a course of action and our will and our knowledge and our understanding is separate from that. No, we are blessed with this knowledge, this all knowledge, this enriching knowledge that comes to us through our relationship with Christ. He says, in everything we have received this utterance and knowledge. What else have we received, friends, in the enrichment of Christ? Have we not received the riches of His grace? Ephesians 1 verse 7. The riches of His grace. Giving to us so freely and bountifully and abundantly of things we never deserved. And yet the grace of God is continually poured into us. And He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Because we are like a bucket. The Lord pours grace into us. And it seems that grace evaporates and goes away. But the Lord is not slack concerning His ability to abundantly increase. He adds to us. He gives to us the riches of His grace. And in James 2 verse 5, it talks about the fact that we are rich in faith. Riches in grace, rich in faith, rich in spirit, rich in knowledge, rich in word. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. What about the source of this enrichment that we have? The source of this enrichment, that in everything ye are enriched by Him. It is by the Lord. All that we have and all that we will ever hope to have is only linked to our relationship to Him. If you are in Christ, then He is the source of all your bounty and benefit. If you abide as a branch that is connected to the vine, you will draw all of your life needs from the vine. And so as we are attached and grafted into the vine of Christ, then we are receiving all enrichment, all nourishment, all knowledge from Him. All that we are and have in this life, it's by Him. We have nothing to boast in of ourselves, friends. We are weak and sinful, but we need to lift our eyes by faith to the hill of God. It is necessary that we see ourselves as we are, because the old pride of heart will be raised up in us, and pride will come to make us self-confident, boastful, thinking that, hey, I can do this. I've had this experience. I've built certain testimony in my life. I can do this. And that's exactly where the devil wants you to be, and it's not where the Lord wants you to be, because you will try to step forward in your own power. And when you do that, you must be reminded again, without the Savior, we can do nothing. I have no boast in myself. My only boast is in the Lord. And friend, it's good for us to see ourselves as we are, as sinners, only saved by His grace, hell-deserving sinners, wretched, and we see our own sinfulness. But if we stay there, it will lead us to despondency. It will lead us to sore depression and discouragement. We're not to remain in that place. We are, however, to look up unto our Savior by faith, to look into the eyes of Him whom our soul loves. Because as we look full in His wonderful face, we will again be renewed. We'll again be strengthened. We'll again be blessed and edified and built up in the spiritual man, not built up in the carnal man. We want to build up the spiritual man, endeavoring to walk close with our Savior. Paul said in Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. He spoke of those. See, the source, it comes from Him, and we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Friends, if you have everything but Christ, then you have nothing. But if you have nothing but Christ, you have everything. What is your standing today? I close with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And so today, we are enriched in everything by Him. All that we have has come because of the Lord's poverty. He left the riches and the splendor of His eternal abode with His Father, and He came down to this earth to be an offering, a sacrifice, to be filled with shame on your behalf, that you might be made rich. If you're in the Lord today, my friend, you have all and abound in Him. And therefore, our outlook is one that is filled with great hope. Therefore, whatever becomes of this world's goods, of your investments, of all of the things of this present evil world, let them go. For soon enough, we will be in eternity. Soon enough, we will be in the presence of our great Redeemer. And then what will you have in the bank of heaven? What will you have as your reward then? As sorrowful, Paul said, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Let's bow in prayer.